Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome. We are so happy that you're with us on the show today. And as usual, we have some fun things we want to tackle and some interesting insights we want to explore and some deep mysteries that we want to take a look at. And I've asked Rogier if he will prepare some things for us. And so he and I have been discussing possible topics, and he's with us today, and he's come up with a good list for you, I'm quite sure. Rogier, thank you for doing this. I know everything you do, including the beautiful, beautiful YouTube and iTunes video clips that you do, is a labor of love, and I so appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. The first question, the first topic I wanted to look at was what we touched upon in the previous show, which is about the map of inner space of the Mother, which actually now is not a map anymore, if I'm correct.
Well, actually, we didn't ever say what happened, did we?
No.
I don't think we ever said that. That's good that we pick it up. And he's referring, of course, to our very last recorded show, where we discussed various teaching mechanisms that were designed for the ages of the fall. And the tenth teaching mechanism that we mentioned is actually what Rogier is referring to, just as a little refresher here. The tenth teaching mechanism was that Mother deliberately designed a way in which things would appear backwards. An example, the male function is to dissect the details. The female function is to hold the big vision. Mother and Father, during the ages of the fall and the descension, they reversed that. Father was holding the big vision. Mother went into the dream and dissected the threads of the tapestry down to the very fibers. That's a backwards execution of function for the feminine and the masculine. An example, again, of such a thing is that Mother has had nothing to learn. All knowledge and all possible equations from that knowledge is within her. So when she went into the fall, she thought she had to learn. And hence, she designed these teaching mechanisms, which was done away with yesterday, and it was just time that they be gone. And that would make a huge difference to this paradigm that we're in. So that is what we are talking about for our listeners that didn't perhaps get a chance to visit the archives or hear last week's show. And so, for us to continue, when Rogier is saying what happened to the inner map of space, how Mother made it that we saw things backwards is that she had an inner map of space created from her own being. She then removed it. When a child is 5 years old, they have what's called a critical period. And a child psychologist has identified that there are specific periods in which a developmental stage happens for a child that, when skipped due to trauma or some other thing, that prevents the necessary experience for those developments to take place, there isn't really a way to catch up. And so Mother has been doing what a five-year-old would do. It's at the age of five that the critical period develops. And the critical period for a child is the development of the inner map of space, the outer map of space. When children are dyslexic, it's because there was some trauma at the age of five, or they were confined so they couldn't run and jump and walk on logs and things like that, so they could gauge this inner and outer map of space properly and develop it. So Mother removed her inner map of space 2 Octobers ago when we were in in Fairbanks, Alaska, which is just a wonderful part. We try and go there at least once a year. And we all go out and on the beautiful lakes, and we go to the hot springs and look at the moose wander across the gardens where we are. And so if any of you want to join us there every year, watch our calendar. We're in Fairbanks, Alaska, and it's beautiful because we go out to see the fact that it doesn't get dark a lot and so on, just fun things. So my brothers and sisters, it was in Fairbanks, Alaska that we were asked to create an inner map of space for Mother. And the inner map of space we did is frequency-based. Frequency is produced by Mother, but anything like power, energy, frequency, light, awareness, those are things that she produces. If they come into her body, they are like a pollutant. So she actually shields them as they go forth from her heart so they don't pollute her body. You can't take the potter, have him make a pot or make a piece of arm, say, and then put it in his own flesh. It doesn't work. And so Mother has now reinstated that inner map of space that she originally had, meaning that her inner map of space is made from her own being. It's not made from that which she creates, such as essence, such as, such as the fields that precede the building blocks and so forth. And incidentally, a very, very huge change has been made in the building blocks that I don't as yet quite understand, but they've consolidated all the functions, and there were 600 functions. All the functions have been consolidated into one. This one building block containing all. That is my work for today. Mother wants me to look at what that one building block is, but I haven't actually gone there yet. But the carrots and the peas and everything have become a little cube with all of them in. So you just throw those cubes in and you've got your soup, and you put it into the fields, which is the broth. So that's today's work. I mean, if you want to explore it here, we could ask Mother questions about it, but I don't personally know it yet.
Well, let's ask some questions then.
Okay, what are they? Sorry, I don't even know where to start.
Well, I'm still kind of wondering if we've conclusively, like, have rounded this topic off, because I'm still not quite clear what now the status is of this map of inner space.
Okay, what the map of inner space has done is what the previous map didn't properly do. It gave Mother some frame of reference, so it actually solved some illusion. But it didn't fully get rid of the fact that certain things were backwards, such as Mother thought until yesterday that she had to learn, not realizing it's not she that she has to learn, it's her children. She already knows, and in fact she's the main library, if you will, for all her children, where they get their information. So what the ramifications of that is, which is a very good question, the ramifications of that is that finally the inner map of space will work. And so a lot of things that have been backwards will be now properly reversed. And it will reflect in our relationships. I haven't had the time to explore exactly how in our relationships, but you can be quite sure that there was, role reversals that did not suit the masculine element and the feminine element properly.
Okay, but so where could we take this then to ask something about, because something that isn't clear to you yet, or?
See, that's the point. One doesn't know what the questions are when you have absolutely no idea what's coming. But there's a couple of very interesting things. There's some changes that are about to be made in some way with matter. We have more etheric realms, and then we have matter, the material realms. The reason that this is the case is simply that I can trace some lines through a dot. The two goddesses that I've been working with, the goddess of matter and the goddess of material life. The little goddess of material life is mentioned in the Gift of the Unicorns, that she represented the ages of ascension, that there was a little boy, and it's interesting because, you know, this the masculine is what assists to create a descension. And I say assist because nothing has ever been an accident. So, you know, it's a little boy that has represented the cycles of descension, and this little goddess of material life represents the cycles of ascension. And those are the two I've been working with. And interestingly enough, the goddess of matter was in physical form. She left physical form and went to higher realms on Wednesday. This morning, at approximately 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the goddess of material life, the little child goddess, was in fact disconnected from her archetype. Mother said she no longer had to play that role, that henceforth all life in the cosmos is going to be parented by the mother. She is the archetype in terms of all life, and all life is an expression of her. So the goddess of material life was set free this morning in terms of her job, if you will, the role that she's played. She's now just a goddess and very, very dear to the mother. So we are definitely in some way making massive changes. We received through the oracles on Earth, and specifically one of the major oracles in Canada, Eva Polnicki, who is a Polish master, and she resides there, and she's also an oracle for the Order of the Serpent, which is the Kundalini magic. This morning, about a day or so ago, all the wheels, there were 600 building blocks of existence that represented seven categories, if you will, of function. One was the one that holds the big pattern that used to be, we used to have only seven building blocks. Now we had 600. Now we have one. And let's do this. Let's take a quick break and then I'll come back and I'll explain better about that.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Peter and I are both struggling to try and find a question because we don't know very much about what has just occurred. But let me at least backtrack in terms of so we understand what has just occurred. And this is the value, my brothers and sisters, of obsolete information. I mean, when one speaks about things that consolidate, you cannot dissect it well. It's when you understand what has been that you understand what currently is happening. First of all, we started out with seven building blocks of life. There was the presence particles that held the pattern. And whenever the pattern changed from a lower to a higher, it shifted and released power. Then there were the awareness particles. The next particle was the life force particle. And I'm sort of working from the upper octaves down. And the next was the life force particle. And the life force created a release of energy whenever there was a shifting up to a higher pattern. Then there was a third building block that was the awareness particles, which I've written about in Journey to the Heart of God and studied for many, many years. And then there was the light and love particles, and the light and love particles were a combination of light and love, and it was a very imperative part to establish communication between the feminine feeling-based aspects of life and the masculine. Then there was another particle, which is perception particles, and perception took place when the microcosm within aligned with the macrocosm without. Then there was self-perception, the knowing of self, because without the knowing of self, there cannot be the self-respect, self-love, self-expression, because you don't know what self is to express it. So all of those things were very, very necessary components. Then they became seven categories, and 600 wheels were produced, 300 mother wheels, 300 father wheels, most exquisite designs that I have seen all over Mother and Father's holy city. And we have these drawn up, and I will certainly ask her here, is it possible to put some of those on the Aruba Ferina website?
Yeah, that should be possible.
Okay, then let's do that, and then our listeners can watch for it, and the minute it's up, it might be up by the time they hear this, but then they can look at those wheels. But they represented the patterns in the palace, but that's because they represented the actual wheels of existence. So, my brothers and sisters, these wheels of existence were then 600 building blocks. Then, a few days ago, or yesterday, goodness knows when, but they were pulled into one. We only have one building block now. It's necessary for us to know the 600 qualities of those building blocks and the seven categories. That's why that information is not entirely obsolete, because it's contained in the one. All the carrots and vegetables in the soup has been made into a little capsule or a little square. And when you put it in the soup, it's there, but it's now homogenized. That is what has just taken place. Yeah, I don't know what to ask here. Do you have any question we can ask Mother about this? Because I don't know what this means.
Well, I was thinking that, of course, the implications must have been massive. For if things were designed so that they were backwards, of course. So I was wondering what it would mean to what it means now to say that this has been reversed to the correct situation.
Okay, well, let's just ask her, because I really don't know at all. So let me just see. Irash Brauch, Estavi Ashva Usta, Minukata Eshne, Esba Ushtuviakya, Mishpeki Na Ahva, Hesh Usta Ishnavivi, Mother is saying that the separation of building blocks was the last vestiges of duality, the last separating of the threads of the tapestry. It was inevitable that they be joined as one. Tehkoyene shtava asa ma'uhur nashtachba upa atana vashi. The mother and the father today also are joined as one. Tehkoyene ishatana vise mihkoyene veishama. Even though the mother is not made from that which the father is made of, since the father was created by her, Pishta uchnavisha, sachva ushte, veshpa ustava. It is a creation and a creator joining. And this is the day that it is done. Pishkuyavasta ashnava asta, kite inami uki ina asha. It was tried before, but there were elements not properly understood. Ishtachnava usu, pehpiakya ma'unush. It brought the mother discomfort because of the dissimilar material from which the father was created by her, joining with her being. Pikuyechneshta usva arach vasta. Mishpiakya na ushutu vispe ekete in ikihiya ata. But now the joining takes place with a shielding, so that although they form a unity, Mother called it self-sustaining oneness, although they form self-sustaining oneness, Mother is shielded from Father's dissimilar material from which he is made. Kita Ruhir Minash. Let's answer Ruhir's question. Vishpasta uvibi keshne estach vinavivish. He is correct in that something was not as it was, as it should be. Pishpaiki ina uhyech, pishpasta uvivishta anasbai, eknechve ushtava, keleshvi astaba ikte en ihiyama unuchva sava, eshvesta usbahanach vauvavi. It is so that there really is only one element. There really is only one building block. But its components were separated out so that the function could be understood. First into 7 and then into 600. Tishkai minesh ba'as davarivi. But there is only one building block of life. Kuyivachka inishva stebe eshta unasvavi. The reason that the goddess of matter has left what seems like physicality. Kishba ustanimi ikite inashvas tu uchnava asta. The reason this morning the cosmos no longer needed an archetypal goddess to represent its materialization, its material life is that there is no longer any difference. Pikita ishna usnababa. Kikukiana mahuhi hakava asha estere kaba usut eshte. The threads were separated. The functions are understood. They were separated into octaves of life, which was created by differing frequencies. Mispekie ita ashna su, sahba uste, vishba kla urababa achna, enesh vesta, uchbas ba ut nava. The joining of the building blocks into one. It has eliminated the layers or strata of existence. Think of an angel. It is no longer any less physical than you are. Pituchna ma'ash. Esteve eknech ve'esta'uvi. So I am asking the mother, how then will it be for us? Will we be able to see them? So now she's going to answer. Mishpacha ta unishpa asta, irek ne ita uchvashpa asta na vie, kukiyana ahihach, putufuhi inishpastava. For a little while longer, I shall shield them, and they shall use their magic to remain unseen. But you are correct. It is easier now to see them. Ishvasta vipi kikte enemi ishu. Should they choose to remove the veil of magic from their privacy for those of pure heart? Mispikini itia ana ashva, serdekie ashva uspa astava nik. Kepiachka uyesh. Only matter shall exist. And a new, I'm not sure if this word, excuse me a second, conception, a new conception will take place today. Mahkayete mauna vashpa uta anesh, between the union of mother and father. Dihkoyenesh vasta ihnime iki ukuyine icha susavichi kia ma'anach. As they enter into self-sustaining oneness, their joining is a conception of the new building block of existence. So I want to ask mother what to call it. Pishkutanach va ashvi esteva babi. Esteva bavi. Mother is answering. Piokuine. Keshkaya tava. Call it the eternal particle of life.
I was just writing it down, but this fusing is of creator and creation, is that what you were saying?
Well, it's of the mother and father, and mother has created father. But here, let's quickly take a quick break here, and any questions you have, we'll tackle them afterwards.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
So we shall continue with any other questions that you have on this particular topic, Rogier. Otherwise, you're so welcome to just move wherever you want to.
Well, like we were saying during the break, I still have some difficulty in interpreting what this is supposed to mean, especially in light of the, what certainly previously was the case, that the quality of the mother and the father, so to speak, was not on a par with each other, and now it's joining or fusing.
Well, on par, meaning what exactly? You see, we have to define that a little bit, because father was created by mother. Mother has all masculine, all feminine in her. And she's explained it to me that although father is an expression of all her masculine and all her feminine as well. He is an expression of her, like an artist would express him or herself on canvas or in a beautiful statue, but this is, you know, of course, life. But in her instance, she is emphasizing her feminine components. In his instance, she emphasizes his masculine components, and he lives with emphasis on his masculine. The difference between father's consciousness and creation is quite vast, and he is living with mother according to what she said today. From this day, they've re-entered into divine, into self-sustaining oneness, which is a type of a relationship in which there is a flow back and forth in terms of receptivity. It's like an alternating current of input and output between heart and mind. And there's input and output alternating between heart and mind. In their case, they form a field, but she has had to shield herself against the fact that she is made from something different. This has been a very huge issue, because mother didn't know this, and she has in the past polluted herself by taking in building blocks or energy or power and so on for herself, which is not, it's not natural for her to have. She produces it, but she isn't it, which is different for her creations. So even though mother and father have gone back into self-sustaining oneness, which they were in before, but they stepped out of it, and they stepped out of it because it was very uncomfortable for mother. And, it was uncomfortable in that, you know, she didn't realize that she had to shield herself from taking something she's created in, into unity or oneness with herself. Now they've gone back in again, and she is shielded from the dissimilar essences from which they're made, so to speak. I mean, I don't know what to call what mother's made from, because I don't know what she's made from. But I know what father's made from, and he's made from a field of exquisite qualities. And so she's shielded from that. Now they can do the self-sustaining oneness with comfort. And there's, you know, there's a back and forth input between them. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, because that's what I was getting at. That when I said not on a par, I was meaning actually just that they weren't made from the same material.
Yes, exactly.
But apparently there's this shielding now which enhances this joining in a way.
Yes.
Okay.
And, sorry, there was one other thing that I thought you asked. Nope. Okay, let's continue. You know what I heard in your question was the ramifications of life for this in life. And
You'd actually answered that or not. So.
Well, I must tell you something. It's going to be vast enough that it's going to unfold over months, and we will share it with our listeners as we realize the big changes that it's done in life. But what I do know for sure is that it will bring such power into physicality, and physicality has not traditionally had as much power at its disposal, say, as other kingdoms. It has had it even more, but it hasn't quite known how to release it.
As other kingdoms?
Yes. Example. Let's take an example of what I'm saying. An angel is mighty in wielding power of what it wants to achieve within the cosmos. Humanity has asked the angel to help. My child is sick, please help me. Because those elements, if you take a look at the levels of life above us, each one of them represented in concentrated form one of those seven categories. So the highest beings had the most power, and the second highest had the most energy. The third highest had the most awareness, like that, you see, in terms of density. Because that's what the particles were like. The presence particles that produced power were the most etheric. They were they were seven octaves above us. So we have not had the qualities of the power particles at our disposal. Now we do, because all of this is consolidated into material particles. You know, the energy that's released by the cosmic life force particles, the second highest category in terms of more etheric, that has produced fluidity of change. We haven't had that. Mother has implemented all these changes. Day by day by day, I listen to hours of reading laws into books to change this. The slowest place for the change has been physicality.
So what did we have here then?
Well, we had experiential wisdom. Because material particles category, because it's one of those octaves, is in fact experiential wisdom. So we were very high on that aspect, but low on the others. If this all consolidates, those things are at our disposal. That's going to be huge.
And so that should mean that matter becomes, or physicality becomes, more malleable as well, or
more malleable, more power at our disposal. You know, we have received so much information that is for the restoration of white magic, but we couldn't have it properly function until this is done, because the techniques have been given, but a lot of the power to wield those techniques have been missing.
Okay. All right. And when you say, because I did have a question about that, are you done with that topic, or?
Yes, I am.
Well, there was this one thing.
A great deal. If I just keep quiet, my mouth will give me the answer, you know. I've learned a great deal now.
Because I did have a question, actually, which came in through YouTube, which was really about, because now you're talking about octaves and layers of life, but the question was really what the deal is with these different dimensions, and the first dimension, the tenth dimension, and so forth. And I wasn't really sure what you would say about that, like if it's maybe all been consolidated into one, or if there are different layers of life, or if it's even the same thing as a layer, a dimension. So maybe you want to go and answer that one.
Well, I can certainly give what was, and then I can give what was yesterday, and I'm not entirely sure of what is today. But let's begin with that. So, my brothers and sisters, what used to be, let's take life way back in 2004, is that the cosmos had bodies, absolutely the same as human bodies. And it had those bodies in 12 sections. So there were 12 big dimensions. Within each of those dimensions, there were 12 overtones. You know, and people were just indiscriminately using this language. Like sometimes they say, oh, the ninth dimension, they mean the ninth overtone in our dimension. Because you go from one to the other and it feels like you're changing dimensions. There's a slight membrane between them that, you know, this is what was, right? That it felt like you were moving through as you moved up. Those were overtones. There's a very big jump between dimensions, and there were 12 dimensions total. So that means 144 overtones. The cosmos we were in had that. There were four parallel cosmoses. Ours was one of them. Living, parallel realities, all of them structured the same way. Then, those, the cluster of the four cosmoses. There were, in fact, eight strands like that. There were 12 strands like that. So there were, in parallel realities, there were 12 times the four. Then, there were eight strands of the 12 times four. Parallel realities went on and on and on. But that's as far as I can, you know, explain in a minute. That's what we used to have. Then Mother started consolidating them. So she did it by consolidating her DNA, because what this was a reflection of is simply Mother's DNA. And so the DNA strands, the 12 DNA strands, let's just deal with that. The 12 DNA strands that I've spoken of over the years that I said that man had, two of them of subatomic particles that we can see, and the other 10 of particles with the higher octaves that we can't see. And so those were joined into one luminous strand of DNA. And then there were eight such strands, and then Mother pulled those in. And so, my brothers and sisters, that is what was. Then Mother actually collapsed all of the bodies of the cosmos and created not separate bodies anymore, because she's been doing away with the separating of things. She made one body in terms of that there's one body, but it's made of unified fields. In other words, it's like a collage. You have a picture of an orange, you have a picture of yourself on the swing, you have a picture of a dog chasing a cat, and they're separate pictures, but you make a collage of them and you put them all on one piece of paper and paste them together, overlapping each other, and what you end up with is exactly what it became in the cosmos, a unified field of 12 different components. So that is where we used to be. I'm terribly sorry, but I don't know where we are now. You can sure tell me. I mean, this has just changed since yesterday. What we can do is that if you want to, you can certainly, you know, think in the break of questions, and I can certainly ask Mother. Or we can go on to other things. I'm sure you've got more, so it depends whether you want to go more deeply or not. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth. folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Al Amin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to our final section of our show today. And thank you, Ruhir, for, as always, for the wonderful work you do to get everything out to people in terms of not only the videos that you're producing, but also for producing this new website coming up. I would love to put the wheels on there so they can see it, because it changes one just looking at them. It's very, very profound. What else did you want to discuss?
I just recalled that there was something about DNA we would still have to look into, because I think you said yesterday or the day before something about 20 strands.
That is correct. Now, my brothers and sisters, the mathematical formula for higher life, the mathematical sequence for higher life is not the Fibonacci sequence. It is, in fact, the following, and I don't know how much further it goes because I've only looked up to this point that I'm giving you, but it goes from 1 to 3, 7, and then it goes to 12, and then it goes to 20, and then it goes to 33, and then it goes to 54. And the 1, actually, if you eliminate the 1 as the starting point, you will find that it makes 129. There are 129 of these sacred libraries, and Ruhir, I know he's been designing it, will be putting the template of life like a rose with its symbols on, because it's the one that I've spoken to you about in other shows that pulses and produces color, even though we actually have it in black and white on a flat piece of paper. Those are actually templates of DNA. And it was discovered when the libraries of Angel Falls in Venezuela were opened that there were 8 more strands needed for physical life. Now I understand why, because normally when these libraries open, up until this point, and it was only yesterday that I translated pieces of the Angel Falls Library's records in Venezuela. Up until this point, every time something has come forth out of these holy libraries, my brothers and sisters, they have been for the whole cosmos. They have never been just for physical life. This one was just for physical life. And an Ashanta serpent named Leo will warn that humanity's sight must be restored. This was received by the Oracle Vanessa in Ireland. 8 more strands to man's DNA, that blindness be banished and illusion be done away. This is what he told her. I received it. I went into the libraries in Venezuela, and there was written, restore 8 strands of DNA that together will reveal the awareness levels of all. That means all beings. It will reveal value of things. It will reveal how worthy things are of going after. One doesn't just go after a teacher because they have a good PR department or because they look profoundly holy, but you will know in your heart whether you're in front of awareness that's high or not, when you're confronted with a choice in your life, what is the most life-enhancing? How much awareness does each choice hold? Everything in your life, partners, teachers, you know, jobs, anything, how high is its awareness? So from the Venezuelan Angel Falls libraries, I translated this. One strand is given that subterfuge be discovered, also hidden acts of destructiveness against another. The second strand enables to see through social conditioning, also through propaganda and deliberate programming. Then comes a strand that reveals what is real and what is not. Another reveals boundaries breached, that invasion of privacy be stopped. The fifth strand reveals omissions, gaps, and flaws. The sixth reveals what is life-enhancing to all. The seventh shows agendas, though hidden they may be. The eighth shows the value of potential and possibilities. I truly, from my heart, Ruhir, believe that this blindness that humanity have been in has been part of what we discussed on our last show together, the teaching mechanisms, where we just don't see things for what they are. It's the backward seeing. Because value has so been hidden. And, you know, if we go through these, we just have about 4 or 5 minutes here, but if we go through them really carefully, the subterfuge that needs to be discovered, the hidden acts of destructiveness against another. People smile, you know, while they're abusing their wife or their child. They smile, you know, and getting everybody to sign their glorious treaty or this, that, or the other. And simultaneously, there's destructiveness behind it. That can now be seen through. We need to stay in our hearts to be able to access the gifts of the eight strands. So the second one has this issue of social conditioning. And I've often spoken about the hype, because people say to me, how do we know these changes are happening? Well, you know, we can certainly see it by the things that have been prevented, but it isn't always easy to see the changes firsthand. We can produce all the interdimensional photography. You know, we have on one of our iTunes ones, I believe, where I speak about the returning of the Kachina tribes, and I show one of the fossils we found of one of these Kachinas, which is at iTunes through here.
Well, it was actually going on YouTube.
YouTube, okay.
You wanted it on the Aruba Farina website as well.
As well, yes. My brothers and sisters, we can show you all the miracles in the world. I used to do that. People argue them away. I discuss this in the back of the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, how people would levitate, but people that saw it would find ways to negate it. I would be disappearing in front of them. They'd blame it on something in their eyes. They'd see fairies in my backyard and think I have something like an electrical hummingbird moving on a line across the yard. I mean, how preposterous is that? But it's for the left brain, it's more feasible than to say I'm seeing fairies. So the point is that our vision has been made very myopic. We see just what is in front of us, and we have tended to take things at face value. I remember very well when I think it is the Bekba Varabishbi. It's discussed in the Opening the Doors of Heaven, the return of three lost tribes that came in. And they're called the tree people. And they said that they've come to help us see. So I said, you mean see interdimensionally? They say, oh, there are so much more to seeing than just that. This is what they meant. But humankind lacked those eight DNA strands. We used to have 12. Now we have 20. Because in this mathematical sequence that I just gave you, the number goes from 12 and then it goes to 20. So, my brothers and sisters, some of the hype that's there doesn't tell us the changes that are happening in our world, because they always seek for the bad news, because it is what left brain loves. Left brain likes to see what is not. So, And if you try and get it to see what is, it wants proof. So then comes a strand that reveals what is real and what is not. And the definition of real is important here. It is that which reflects what the infinite being is. Anything like war is not real. If we can see that, it will stop having that charge when we see somebody get shot. It isn't real. I understand people are dying because they're buying into what is not real. This should really assist to bring in a great decrease, if not an end altogether, to disease and war. This issue of our boundaries being breached, it is often done in the nicest possible way. Oh, here's a law for your protection. I'm protecting you against terrorists, so here's this law. And so a freedom is taken away. My brothers and sisters, the invasion of privacy has to be seen for what it is. So then we look at the fifth strand that reveals omissions, gaps, and flaws. See, advertisement doesn't tell you that the product is actually cancer-producing, or that tests on rats show that their hair falls out. It tells you how sexy you're going to look and what sex appeal you're going to have for a partner of your choice. The gaps and omissions in the hype need to be clearly seen. So we've come to the end of our show. I want to thank you for joining us. Please tell your friends about us. We would be most grateful. Thank you so much, and I love you very much.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.